is Christian Questions.
Sonia Parker once said, once you realize that the only person holding yourself back, you'll stop making excuses and you'll start making changes. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And folks, we're truly glad you've chosen to spend some time with us on this fine Sunday morning. Good morning, Jonathan. Happy New Year.
Good morning, Rick. Happy New Year to you.
It is 2015, and here we are for the first time in 2015, sitting back in our comfortable chairs at the studio, ready to go. So what's the subject? What's the question? What's on the table?
All right, Rick, our question this morning is, if you could change one thing, what would it be? And our theme text is found in Isaiah chapter 40.
I'd be taller. No.
Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint.
So it is Happy New Year, Happy New Beginning, Happy New Opportunity to resolve and make changes in your life once and for all, only to be shot down later by a steady force of habit, life, and expectations later.
Great.
Yeah, wait a minute. That's not happy, is it?
No.
Well, the truth is, for most of us, a new year and a new beginning spells disaster and defeat. Let's face the facts. How can we approach change in a way that offers different results? Well, folks, stay with us this morning. We have a few ideas and a textbook to help back those ideas up. Yes, we're going to the textbook this morning, Jonathan.
That's important.
It is the Bible. That's our textbook. And that's where we get all of our ideas from in terms of putting out programs for you, for your benefit, for our benefit. And today we're talking about not necessarily New Year's resolutions, but we're talking about making changes. And that, look, everybody needs to make some changes in their life, right, Jonathan?
Absolutely.
You need to make some changes in your life?
Lots of them, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like having to do with somebody you hang out with on Sunday morning, though, is it?
Well, no. No, of course not.
All right, that's good. All right, we'll continue then. Today what we want to do is make six observations regarding the pathway and obstacles of change to hopefully to create a better basis of understanding of how to make changes that are going to be lasting changes in our lives.
Rick, you had an inspiration and a focus for this program this week.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
You know, what happens is typically we set the agenda for the program several weeks in advance.
Sure.
And so we've got an idea where we're going. And I had a very specific idea of what to do this particular Sunday morning, the first Sunday of New Year's. We usually do a program on making paradigm shifts. And
Goal setting.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
And I had an idea exactly how I wanted to approach it. And then we got an email from a listener, and it changed everything is really what it did. It was such a powerful, powerful message. And folks, without getting specific, we want to share some of it with you. I have corresponded back with the young woman who sent us the email. We're not going to call her by her real name. We're going to call her Rebecca.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why we're calling her Rebecca in a little while. And read the email and then explain a little bit. She said, God blessed me with your story at the right place at the right time. The story was the story that we told back in August about the situation with my daughter, Amy.
Yes.
She was going through assault, and we had Amy and Emily and my wife in here. We did a program on dealing with that as a family. She said, thank you for sharing. It touched my life in a way that will stand out as a major mile marker for the rest of my life. And she attached a letter to God, putting her particular issues on paper before God. And it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever read, Jonathan. And I could just, the sincerity and the desire for real, real solid change just was pouring out of this young lady. And she has struggled with eating disorders for many, many, many years.
Okay.
And it seems like she's really on the cusp of overcoming them and, you know, sort of putting them away. And the story of our daughter, Amy, dealing with the rape as a 15-year-old kid, and how we had to learn how to put that away over time really touched Rebecca. I'm calling her Rebecca because she feels like she's my daughter, and Amy's middle name is Rebecca.
Okay.
And so my response to her initial email with this letter to God and her just putting things out in such a wonderful way, I had responded to her with five things that I thought were really important, and they became the theme for this program.
Very good.
So that's
very good.
That's what happened, and so we're approaching this program very differently than we would have, thanks to Rebecca sharing her story with us. And so let's get started with this, and we'll be referring back to that as we go through the program. The first of the there's actually six observations. What's the first of the six, Jonathan?
Know the focus of what you are looking to change. Is it an external behavior or an internal attitude or perspective? If our change is focused from the inside out, then our efforts will be from a deeper source and therefore inherently more fruitful than those spurred by attempts to change those things plainly seen on the surface.
So the first point here, the first observation is what is it that you're looking to change? And most of us look to change something on the outside.
Yeah.
And most of us fail
we
in that
do.
Attempt.
We do, Rick.
And the reason is we're treating a symptom, not a problem.
Mm.
And we're not doctors or anything here. It's Dr. Rick and Dr. Jonathan. No, it isn't. But what it comes down to is if you treat a symptom and make a symptom go away, but you don't take the source of that symptom away or alter it,
it'll come right back.
It's going to come right back.
Yeah.
So we want to look at change from the inside out rather than from the outside in. And to get us started on that, we're going to go to one of my favorite sources, the Skit Guys. And just they have several videos out about New Year's and resolutions and so forth and so on. And this particular video was entitled, "This Year Will Be Different."
This year will be different.
This year will be different.
This year will be different.
This year, I need to eat less.
You know what? I do solemnly swear that this year I will lose 10 pounds. Or at least 5.
5 is the magic number. That's how many times I want to visit my grandmother this year, which would be 5 more than last year.
Learn to wait. I always want things instantly. I need patience. Now!
And you know, those are all the kinds of things that we talk about today.
And we do, actually.
Right.
Yes.
I solemnly swear this is what I'm going to do. And we get stuck in the outside-in approach to changing rather than the inside-out. See, external focus doesn't get the job done, but that's where most of us start. We're going to, in the first couple of segments, Jonathan, use a scriptural example. Like I said, we're going to the textbook.
Yes,
okay?
The Bible.
And this is a great example, as you put it while we were talking before the program, of human nature. King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, first of all, the quiz question for today is, can you spell Nebuchadnezzar?
Well, I am terrible at spelling, so if you took this outline away from me, no, I could not.
All right. King Nebuchadnezzar, who was king at the time of Daniel. Remember Daniel and the lions
and all of that,
okay? We're going to look at his experience learning over time where to focus his heart devotion. Now, he was a lifelong idolater. Would he simply make proclamations about God Almighty, or would he worship God Almighty with his very being? Because Daniel was in his life, and Daniel was representative of God Almighty.
That's right.
That's a contradiction to an idolater's perspective.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was seeing the miracles of God Almighty right before him.
Through Daniel.
Through Daniel,
yeah.
And through Daniel's companions.
Oh, that's right.
And so we're going to drop in on the conclusion of the miraculous deliverance of the three Hebrews from the fiery furnace. Remember, they were put in the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down to the image?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so what happens with King Nebuchadnezzar? And folks, as we go through this story and we go through our discussion this morning on if you could change one thing, what would it be? We'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And if you have any questions on our subject, you can give us a call or ask your questions at christianquestions.com. And don't forget Facebook.
Don't forget Facebook. You can like us on Facebook if you'd like. we'd like you to like. Anyway, those things always confuse me. I don't know. So let's drop in. The three Hebrews have been miraculously delivered from this fiery furnace, and here's what King Nebuchadnezzar says in Daniel 3:28-30.
Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own god."
So he's saying, he nails down exactly what happens here.
Yeah, he does.
He says, they disobeyed me, they honored and followed their own god, and they were rewarded mightily for this faith to this god. So what does he say next?
"Therefore, I make a decree."
Now, could this be like us making our resolutions?
Oh, I like that.
Just keep that in mind as we read this. Go ahead.
"Any people, nation, or language that utters blasphemy against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way." Then the king prompted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Promoted, I mean.
Well, that too. But now, so here's the thing. The king, King Nebuchadnezzar, looks at this and he proclaims, he makes this decree, nobody speaks a bad word about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nobody, or you're dead, literally. All right, so he's coming out very, very, very strong. I mean, he's astounded by the power of the Almighty. But here's the thing, Jonathan. His astonishment and his decree are not the conversion of his own heart.
No, they're not.
To believe in that God.
No, he doesn't take it far enough.
Right. So here's the thing. Proclamations are dramatic and exciting, but they're not necessarily life-changing.
Interesting.
And that's what we can see from the king. He makes the proclamation, and he says, don't mess with the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God of Daniel, essentially. But he doesn't say, love him, honor him, and worship him.
No, he
does. As God Almighty.
He does not do that.
He just says, don't mess with him. So he comes across in this very big, strong, and powerful way, but he has not yet himself decided to acquiesce to the will of this God, because he's an idolater. So he doesn't want to let go of the things that he's always had and held, but when he sees something else big and powerful and strong, he'll acknowledge it, just like we do.
Just like human nature.
Right. We don't let go of our own idolatry when we try to make change. What we do is we want to hang on to that. But we'll acknowledge the goodness of other things. Oh, of course, absolutely. So let's touch on a New Testament example of the same kind of thing. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 4.
"Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do them not. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them, and so much as a finger."
So this is about the Pharisees, and again, they hung on to the things that were important to them, but they were big about telling other people what to do and how to do it.
Yes, they were.
And that's the way we get, I think, sometimes in our resolution. So our lesson is this. Our words, our outward proclamations, often acknowledge that which is right, and at the same time, cleverly divert attention away from the core beliefs that we hold in our hearts.
Shame on us.
Clever, clever. The king proclaimed that no one should blaspheme the Almighty, but he did not proclaim that the Almighty is ruler over all things. See, that's the key. He proclaimed a bunch of good stuff.
Which was true.
Which was true, and which was appropriate.
Yes.
But it certainly wasn't heart devotion. That which is on the surface has roots in the heart. So if you want to change that which is on the surface, the way to do that is to look at that which is in the heart. And as in the example of King Nebuchadnezzar, he wasn't doing that. He wasn't looking at the heart. He was looking at the external results and proclaiming and decreeing, just like we resolve in relation to the external results, but he wasn't changing what really made him move.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick, our subject this morning. If you could change one thing, what would it be? Coming up, how do we keep our focus and not fall back into bad habits? Is being humbled the only way to learn? That's next.
Thank you.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, if you could change one thing, what would it be? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
And Jonathan, as we go through the subject about change, it's beginning of a new year, and a lot of people think about new year and new change and get excited and then get discouraged really fast after that.
Yes.
Because what happens is typically what we want to change are those things that are obvious on the outside. But to change the things that are obvious on the outside, if you don't focus on what's inside, you're never going to be successful changing on what's outside. And that's the big issue with changes. And, you know, the inspiration for this program came from someone who we'll call Rebecca, a young woman who lives in an area that doesn't get the program live, but she listens online.
Mm-hmm.
And she had heard the program we did with our family in August, I think it was, of this year, of 2014, when my daughter went through an assault, a rape. And how we dealt with that, how we learned how to put it in its perspective over several years and with a lot of faith and a lot of prayer. And it was very inspirational to Rebecca, who has fought with eating disorders for many, many years. And Jonathan, my impression of her, as I've emailed back and forth, is that she really does understand the inside-out approach. And I find that thoroughly inspiring.
Wonderful.
Just to see that happening. So let's go to another soundbite from the Skit Guys, because they're talking about change in their funny way. And, let's just listen.
This year, I'll be nicer to my parents. What, Mom? Get off my back. I just need peace in my life. I'm just so nervous all the time. I'm twitching. Three kids. I'm a twitcher. I'm twitching. I twitch. I just can't seem to get
my pits to stop sweating. Can you see this? Look, when did I become the human leak? I mean, I know I've got some stress about my future and everything, but why can't I just be like everyone else and you can seal it? Okay, I'll just have to fake it till I make it. And I'll
be better than I've ever been in my entire life.
If I'm going to make this year count, I have to do some things differently. It's toupee time.
It's toupee time. That's the guy who's bald. Got to do things differently. You know, he puts on his really floppy toupee. But, you know, it's I think it's important to look at a change through the eyes of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see the things that we really do, and it makes it easier to laugh at it.
It's true.
You know, I'm going to be the best person I've ever been in my entire life. That's a wonderful thought, but that is not a manageable change. And that's the issue that we have to, because how do you get there? You have to get there small steps at a time.
Exactly.
And it's got to come from the inside out. Internal focus, like we're talking about, does get the job done. Sometimes we let everything else divert us from this focus. When we finally settle on the internal focus, it's amazing what things can happen. The next experience of King Nebuchadnezzar, remember we went through that one experience after the Hebrews were delivered through from the fiery furnace.
Yes, that's right.
So this next experience of King Nebuchadnezzar in the time of Daniel that we're going to drop in happens many, many, many years after that. And he has allowed his pride to smother any potential for true reverence of God. You know, he's understands God Almighty and respects God Almighty, but he doesn't reverence him.
And he basically puffs himself up and says, look what I've done.
Right, right. And after ignoring clear warnings of the path that he was on, Daniel warned him, because the king had a dream about himself. And Daniel interprets the dream and says, look, you had better become more humble before God.
Yes.
Or you will be severely punished. So Daniel warns him. And the king, over a year, is given an opportunity to begin to change his attitude. He doesn't, and he loses control of his faculties for 7 years. Remember, he lives like a beast.
That's right.
And so for 7 years, the king loses his mind. And when he comes back from losing his mind, now you have a different man. And this is exciting. Here are the results of a truly humbled heart. Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 to 37. These are the words of King Nebuchadnezzar after he comes back from that 7 years of being out of control of his own mind so that he can understand God Almighty.
When the period was over, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. I blessed the Most High and praised and honored the one who lives forever, for his sovereignty is an everlasting sovereignty, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation.
Isn't that so different than the proclamation or the decree that he made in we were talking about in the first segment?
Oh, it's a big change.
Because this is about his inside-out observations of God Almighty. He doesn't proclaim here. He simply realizes that God is Lord over all that we build because it was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom that he was so proud of.
Yes.
And he realizes that it's God's kingdom that is endures from generation to generation, that is everlasting. It's not his.
He was taken off the scene for 7 years.
Right, and just like that.
Exactly.
And now he comes back, and he has a different perspective on God Almighty. This is not a decree. This is a heart observation that now is changing the way he actually begins to look at life. Folks, if you have a thought, as we talk about making those changes in life that are so difficult to make, and how do you do it? We'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.com, and don't forget to tweet us at CQNetRadio.
So let's continue with what Nebuchadnezzar says, because he doesn't just say, you know, that he's blessing the Most High God and honoring him and realizing his sovereignty, but he goes on in much, much more detail. Pick up with verses 35 to 37 of Daniel 4.
All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does what he wills with the hosts of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. There is no one who can stay his hand or say to him, "What are you doing?" At that time, my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me from the glory of my kingdom. My counselors and my lords sought me out. I was reestablished over my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are truth.
So here's the massive, massive difference. Here's the inside-out change. He, again, is not proclaiming. He's simply personally acknowledging that God is the ultimate destination of all our praise and worship. And he says in those words, he says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven.
There's a change.
There's an amazingly massive change. Now, he had seen the works of the King of Heaven before, over 40 years of time.
Right.
He had seen many miracles. He had seen Daniel and the three Hebrews.
The wisdom of them itself.
Right, right. And he saw actual physical miracles in the understanding of what was happening in their world, you know, Daniel's ability to interpret dreams and all of the
telling the future,
so,
everything.
So you have this. Yeah. So these observations gave him lots to work with, but he didn't take it and run with it because he was an idolater.
He needed to be humbled,
and so he was.
Yes.
And now you see him, and in a very, very different light, looking at his own life. And now let's just finish the last phrase of verse 37.
And in his ways are justice, and he is able to bring low those who walk in pride.
Now, who's he talking about there?
Himself.
Right. So that's the inside-out change. Nebuchadnezzar, again, does not proclaim. He simply accepts that God is Lord over all who we are from the inside out. And so that, to me, is a great scriptural example of what it means to change from the inside out. If we want to change, you know, and again, the question, if you could change one thing, what would it be? And a lot of times our answer is, well, you know, I want to lose a little bit of weight, or I want to exercise more, you know, I want to be more fit, or I want to spend more time with my family, or I want to watch more football. No, not really. But, you know, whatever it is, a lot of times they're a good result, but to get there, it's not, that's not what you focus on. You know, if you want to lose weight, you have to figure out, well, what do you eat and why do you eat and when do you eat it?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
that, and then all of a sudden things start to fall into place. And you say, oh, okay, so now it means creating a new habit that starts far away from your destination, but eventually brings you there.
Yes. Yes.
So, folks, again, the point of the program this morning is making those changes that are really, really important in our lives. Let's go to another soundbite from the Skit Guys. We're going to use the Skit Guys for a while here. And this is continuing in their skit, This Year Will Be Different. And remember, they're all making these great proclamations. I'm going to lose this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be the best person ever. You know, I'm going to listen to my parents. Whatever it is, let's continue with their story.
Make some goals this year. Just 3, not 10.
Stop judging people who aren't like me.
Stop snapping at my kids.
Dream!
Character over image.
Learn that I'm loved, but not entitled.
God, did you forget about me? I'm here. Just show me what to do.
Give me the strength to change. What am I saying? I don't even know if I want to change, God. I'm comfortable. I have a good life. I know. You want the best for me. So why don't I want the best for me?
I love that last line.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and if you're a follower of Christ, God does want the best for you. So the question sometimes we have to ask ourselves is, why don't we want the best for us? Because sometimes the best for us means a self-sacrificing approach that is not necessarily comfortable.
No, it's not.
But that's the point of making changes. If you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.com.
So, Jonathan, one more thought on the internal versus external changing approach compared. Romans 14, 1-4.
Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not regarded with contempt, the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat is not judged, the one who eats, for God has accepted him.
So sometimes our outward proclamations that we make can, in fact, be contradictory to those that others make. You know, in Romans chapter 14 is a really good example of that. The most important thing is that we're spiritually focused internally to provoke our external actions and that we're not violating scriptural principle in any way. So in other words, we can have disagreements and, you know, in Romans chapter 14, some did not want to eat meat that had been offered to idols.
Right.
And some said, look, it doesn't mean anything. It's okay.
It went against one's conscience, but not the other.
Right. Now,
so how do you deal with it?
Right. And the answer is, it's not a matter of right and wrong. It's a matter of fulfilling what you believe is scriptural principle and standing for it and then looking at that individual who disagrees with you with the eyes of compassion and understanding and not trying to make a proclamation that, oh, Jonathan can't even eat meat that's offered to idols. Boy, he's really messed up in his head.
And it doesn't mean a thing.
Right.
Right?
Right. And but to you, it does.
Right.
And therefore, it's important.
Exactly.
And so that's how we have to learn to grow through this. Our internal conviction should direct our outward action to the glory of God. That's the main point. And sometimes the outward actions may come out differently for each of us.
Yes.
It's okay. As long as that internal conviction is guiding us toward that. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a great scriptural example of that.
Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
So in that last scripture, it talks about, you know, does it say, well, transform your body through lots of physical exercise?
No.
It's the transformation of your mind.
From within.
Right. It's the inside changing so the outside can change. If we want to change what we do, what we say. You know, some people have issues with speaking without thinking.
Yeah, some do. You're right.
And the thing you got to ask yourself is, okay, if you want to change that, it probably is a good idea to change something like that.
Definitely, you're right.
Because that kind of thing can get you into all kinds of trouble needlessly.
Because emotions jump out instead
of thought. Right. And so, how do you change that? Well, you got to figure out what provokes those emotions, and how can I look at those emotions from a scripturally principled approach. And now create a filter to make it so that I think first.
And not just react.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's one small example. There's lots and lots and lots of examples we can go through. But the point here is that what we need to do is realize that the change on the inside provokes change on the outside. Now, having said all of that, in the next several segments, we're going to get into the practicality of making internal change really have an effect on our daily lives.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, if you could change one thing, what would it be? Coming up, we're not perfect, right?
Right.
Well, what if we do backslide? Do we just give up and say, oh, it's over?
I feel like it.
That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, if you could change one thing, what would it be? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com. And don't forget to sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition.
Oh, that's one of the things that you need to change for this year. And that's an easy one, Jonathan.
Oh, it is.
Because it's one of the things that it's an external action that can really contribute to the internal change in life.
I love it.
So go to ChristianQuestions.com, sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition. It's a free service. And what it does is it takes our Sunday morning broadcast, puts it into a PDF file format, and makes it clearer, understandable, graphics, illustrations, a lot of the commentary.
You get an email every week.
And you get the scriptures. And most importantly, for a program like this, you get the six observations that we're talking about on paper.
That's right.
Or on your computer screen, whichever
way
you want. And so that you can be reminded of the things that are important when it comes to change.
And don't forget, we have an app for your smartphone. Just go to your app store and type in Christian Questions. That's also a free service.
That's what we like. Free services here. Make it easy. All right. Let's go back to the skit guys, Jonathan, and look at this is from a different one of their New Year's skits. This is New Year's Nuggets on Wisdom. And they're just giving us little pieces of really sound advice for moving forward in our lives.
Then the first nugget is to make some goals, but make those goals specific and attainable.
Or make them unspecific and unattainable. Then after half-heartedly trying for a couple of weeks, you can just go back to your mediocre life.
Why are you telling them that? Why are you saying that to them? We're supposed to be encouraging right now.
Yeah, I'm just trying to give them some wisdom.
That is not wisdom. That is unwisdom. Proverbs is wisdom, and Proverbs says the plans of the diligent produces abundance.
I don't know about that. I don't have an abundance of anything.
And Proverbs wins again.
I love those guys. They're so good at making the point. And so goals that are attainable, achievable, and so that you can actually get somewhere. Because otherwise, we end up discouraging ourselves. So, Jonathan, actually, before we go to our first point here, or our next point, the next observation, let's go to the phones.
All right. Well, we have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys, and Happy New Year.
To you, too.
And we have 2 Corinthians 10:1. I myself, Paul, appeal to you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. When we want to make a change, we often try to do it for God or to show God, to somehow prove to God that we can do it. We will go to God when we are ready. This is a mistake. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me has not been in vain. We should allow a change to happen with God. God shows us the change when we turn to him now. We change within his love. We will never be ready. God always is. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us.
Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
You
take
too.
Care.
And, you know, Randall brings up some good scriptures there from Corinthians, especially that last scripture that, you know, the idea is that the strength and the glory comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so let's not make any mistakes about that as a Christian. You know, we're not so big, we're not so strong, we're not so smart.
No.
Okay, just giving you full disclosure there as we move forward. All right, let's get into the second observation. And Jonathan, the observations 2 through 6 were my personal response to Rebecca, who had written in with expressing the sense of her life changing and having Christian Questions be a part of that life change. And I was just so completely blown away by that.
And she had a struggle going on in her life.
A very serious struggle.
An eating disorder. That's really tough.
And she had been fighting it for a long time and was really on the cusp of overcoming. So the first thought that I wrote back to her, there were 5 thoughts that I wrote back. This is the first of those 5.
Backsliding happens. The road to true inside-out change is full of potholes and detours. It is long and often painful, but well worth the journey.
So backsliding happens. It just does because we are so, so imperfect. Proverbs 24:16.
For a righteous man falls 7 times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in time of calamity.
The big key phrase in that verse is, and rises again.
That's right. So when we have backslides, it's okay. Get back up.
That's the key. Yes, we fall down.
We will.
So get back up. That's the whole thing. And the comparison is, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. And it doesn't give you a sense of getting back up.
No, it doesn't.
To anything higher.
Right.
So to be working toward righteousness is a very, very difficult task. It sounds like a dangerous task. It sounds like you can get hurt because you keep falling down.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe you need protective gear. Okay, so let's take a look at some protective gear for the Christian, because we're in this battle where we can get hurt. Ephesians 6:10-13.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might.
So to be strong in the Lord is to have our inner conviction clear and focused. It's to be strong in the Lord. Not strong because you want to be, because you're determined to be, because now I'm going to make my changes, but strong in the Lord. Now that you're strong in the Lord, what do you do?
Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm.
So because our inner conviction is clear, arming ourselves is not only logical, it becomes a life and death choice, because our enemy is the one who would have us fall. He is the mighty, dark, and authoritative Lord of this world, and that's Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So we're fighting a battle that's bigger than ourselves. So if we don't put our strength and our courage in the Lord, then we are really in trouble.
Yeah,
we
for
are
sure.
Really,
we're helpless.
Right, fighting a battle that we could not
exactly
possibly win. Folks, if you have a thought, we'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. Means we're on right now. We're talking about changing our lives.
Out from the dark ages into the light of today, join us 24/7 at ChristianQuestions.com.
Jonathan, sometimes our backsliding and weaknesses are very predictable and can be revealed even before they happen. This happened in the context of Jesus' life in dealing with Simon Peter.
Yes.
So let's just take a look at a little bit of Simon Peter's experiences, and he is a rich example of how faulty humanity can be.
We can learn a lot from Peter.
Right, and how blessed we can be in spite of our faultiness. And that's mm-hmm. the thing I love about Peter. Luke 22:31-34.
Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has determined permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail you. When once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. But he said to him, Lord, with you I am already to go both to prison and to death. And he said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow until you have denied 3 times that you know me.
So you have Peter making the proclamation. It's almost like the New Year's resolution, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to stand by you, Lord. And Jesus says, well, actually, no, you're not.
Even to death.
Right, right. So, and we all know that what Jesus said would happen actually did happen, because Jesus predicted, prophesied Simon's weakness. We also know that Jesus, after his resurrection, helped Peter to accept forgiveness and then to accept responsibility for the brotherhood. So not only was he forgiven, but he was given immense responsibility. What we sometimes don't think about is that Peter was not beyond backsliding even after all of this.
And that could have knocked a lot of people out.
Yes, it really could have. You're right. But it didn't.
It didn't.
Because he was determined to be selfless. He was determined to follow after Jesus. However, later on, after all of these difficult experiences where you think Peter is just kind of skating through life, you have this experience crop up in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, where he was doing something he shouldn't have been and needed to be corrected very seriously.
But when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him at his face, because he stood condemned.
Think about that, because he stood condemned. This is the Apostle Paul speaking now.
For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by the hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straight forth about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?
All right, so let's explain this circumstance and what was happening. Because it's a great example of, we are all at different stages in our lives. We're coming from different backgrounds in our lives. And you know, it's like the spokes on a wheel. We're all moving toward Christ. That's mm-hmm. the idea.
Yep.
And the closer to Christ we get, the closer to each other that we get.
Right, right.
Well, in the early church, it was no different. They came from two very different worlds. They came
Jews and Gentiles.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Jews had what as their backup?
The law.
The law covenant.
Different, so different from the Gentiles.
And the law was the way God dealt with his people for thousands of years before this.
Yes.
And so they're being asked to just abandon the law and go to the spirit of the law.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard thing to do.
It is. And Peter was there with Paul, with the Gentiles, eating the foods that the law said not to.
Right.
Being a part of that life until visitors came from Jerusalem.
Now, Peter knew it was okay to do that.
He did.
Because God produced a vision for him specifically. Remember where the sheet comes down with the animals that are unclean?
Yeah.
And in the vision, he hears the voice that says, rise and eat.
And he said, no, can't do.
But God told him, no, it's okay now.
Yes.
So Peter was clearly in the know as to what should be done here. And when those of Jewish background, the Christians of Jewish background came around, what did he do?
He kind of withdrew from the Gentiles and kind of stayed with them and started doing what they had expected to be done.
So he was being a hypocrite.
He was.
He folded under peer pressure.
Exactly. And others fell with him.
Right.
Barnabas here.
Right. So he led them down the road of folding under pressure.
Yeah.
That's not a good leadership.
No.
So, I mean, here you have Peter, the spokesman at Pentecost. When everything changed, he was given the keys for the Gentiles to follow Christ, as we discussed. He was called to the conversion of the first Gentile, remember, with Cornelius.
And his whole household. Yeah.
Right. That's right. His whole household. And now he's going back to all of that in a moment of weakness. He's going back on all of what he was given.
Backsliding.
It happens. And that's the point of this. Backsliding happens. And if it can happen to the Apostle Peter,
it's going to happen to us.
That's right. It's for sure. It's not like it can happen to us. Just got to look at your clock and say, well, when's it coming? Because it's going to arrive.
Right.
It's like that package that's coming in the mail. Sometimes it might be delayed, but it'll show up.
Yes.
So we're going to backslide. And so the key is that to walk the road of real, true change, if we accept the idea and the concept that backsliding is going to happen, then it helps us to see things the way they really ought to be.
And we don't give up.
Exactly. And now what we need to do is go to something that is going to support us in that backslide. Because when it happens, what are you going to do?
Be prepared.
Right, right. Matthew 12:20 is a great scripture on that.
A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory.
And I love that scripture. It's a quote from the Old Testament, but it just gives you a sense. You know, the battered reed will not be broken. The smoldering wick will not be put out. And sometimes we're like that smoldering wick. We got just the little spark of life left to us, but that's about it because we've fallen into a backsliding.
Mm-hmm.
But the compassion of Jesus understands that.
Yes.
So the greatest relief of all is that Jesus knows how easily we can trip, fall, or backslide. And as long as we are still focused on Him, His compassion can reign in our lives.
Don't lose heart.
So it depends on what kind of rain you want to happen in your life. Do you want the rain to come down and squelch all of your plans, or do you want the heart of Jesus to reign in your life instead?
Heart of Jesus.
And that can happen even in spite of the other kind of rain. It can happen and can put us in a better position so that when we want to make changes, what's the one thing we would like to change, whatever it is, we need to understand that. First of all, the first point that we made was inside out change, right?
Yes.
And who was the example?
King Nebuchadnezzar.
And we showed, according to Scripture, how he learned the importance of inside out change and actually acquiesced to honoring and loving God Almighty. We can do the same with our inside out change, but just because you change doesn't mean it's all set. What it means is backsliding can happen. There's four more really, really important points we want to talk to you about, so stay with us for the second hour. If we're not on in your area, go to ChristianQuestions.com, click Listen Live, stay with us. Folks, if you could change one thing, what would it be? There's so much good that we can strive for, but how do you make that striving and not give up? We'll be back soon and talk more about that, but till then, change. It's a good thing. Think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
Somebody once said, I love this quote, I don't know who said it, you don't have to lie awake nights to succeed, just stay awake days. It's really simple. I mean, it takes me 2 hours to say something, and you know, in four words, you get it down. Folks, good morning and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what is that subject matter on the table today? It's important.
It really is, Rick. Our question is, if you could change one thing, what would it be? And our theme text is found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
That is an awesome, amazing scripture.
Oh, I love this scripture.
It is an inspirational scripture.
Yes.
And it gives you a vision, you know, mounting up with wings as eagles, and there's power. And in that scripture, we're going to get to this a little bit later in the program, in that scripture is one of the key elements to truly making change as a
Ooh,
Christian.
All right, looking forward to that.
It is remarkable how clear it is once, and again, we'll get to that very, very soon. But we've been talking about change because it's New Year's, and everybody typically starts to think about change at this time of year. Whether they do it or not is a different story. And we're looking at how do we make change to really make it stick.
And you had inspiration for this subject.
We did. We had inspiration. And folks, I got to tell you, I just want to take a moment here and let you know, as listeners, what you mean to us. Because your input, your reactions to things, your staying with us really, really helps us to focus on the kinds of things that we do and we talk about. We had decided to do a program on change. We always do one at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
And we had an agenda all set up, all ready to go, until we got an email from a specific listener who we will call Rebecca from an area that we don't broadcast in, but she listens online.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been struggling with eating disorders for many, 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 many years of her life, and has really worked hard at overcoming them. And she had listened to a program we had done in August of 2014 when my family came in and we talked about the issues of my daughter Amy's assault, mm-hmm. and how we as a family had to learn to deal with it, cope with it, and how Amy actually overcame that issue. And it really was moving to her, to Rebecca. I'm calling her Rebecca. I'm not giving you her real name. She did give me permission to talk about her story, and she wrote a beautiful letter to God talking about the change and making things actually work by putting her past in a box. I don't know if you remember, but during the program with Amy, we talked about that's one of the visual things that we did in our life, our personal life, was to put her past in a box and put it up on a shelf. You don't necessarily have to forget it. You just put it away. You resource it when you need it, mm-hmm. and then you just put it away again. And that imagery helped Rebecca to see her life in a different way. And so my response to her, there were five things that I wrote back to her. I was so moved by what she said. And those five things are the basis for today's program.
Yes.
So, Rebecca, thanks so much for contributing. And, folks, when you contribute, when you let us know what you think and how things motivate or change you or whatever, it really helps us here at Christian Questions. We love it, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Yes. Amen.
So the first change, Jonathan, was inside out, remember?
That's right.
You got to make your changes from the inside out. Secondly, what was the second point?
The second was backslidings happen.
That's right. You have to be prepared for them. They're going to happen. It's okay. Just get up again. What's the third point?
Faith is powerful, and we must understand how it works. Faith does not reduce the burden of our backsliding or the pain of our potholes. Rather, faith increases our fortitude to navigate through them. Our faith does not magically lift us up to safety. Instead, it is a real beacon of light that shows us the path of safety. Faith in God should truly be the true north of our life compass.
So this is a really important aspect, because faith is powerful, but you need to understand, faith, just because we have faith doesn't mean that our bad experiences dissolve like magic.
No.
Faith gives us the light and the strength to walk through those difficult experiences. We don't ask God to take away the difficulty. We ask Him for the strength to navigate through the difficulty. That's real, true faith that helps us to really, really understand how to deal with all of the issues in our lives. Let's go to a soundbite from somebody else. Now, this is from Jenny Berube. She gave a TED Talk. And I think it was in Canada that this particular TED Talk was happening, but it was about change, and the title of her talk was Change Me, Change Everything. We've got a few sound bites we want to share with you from her. Very, very powerful imagery to help us in our quest to make those important changes.
Because, you know what? Instead of being boats sailing off to this great future, most of us are bottles. Bobbing around in the surface and letting the winds and waves travel us to unwanted and unlooked for and often very unfriendly shores. And the messages in those bottles? Who cares? They're not our words anyway. They're not our thoughts. And I decided I want to be a boat. Now, a boat's still subject to the same wind and waves, but at least you're heading in a direction where you want to go and you've got a much better chance of getting there.
And our boat, the navigator is Jesus.
That's right.
And so are you going to be a boat in life or a bottle just bobbing around on the surface of the ocean? Because the boat and the bottle are both subject to the same difficulty.
They are.
But the boat can find a way to navigate through it. Follow the navigation of Jesus Christ, and your life is going to be a whole lot better off.
Well, Rick, let's go to the phones. We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, what a challenging topic. You just took the thought out of my own mind, the words out of my mouth, Rick, about Jesus is the navigator, the pilot, really. Remember what I used to say, always said, Jesus is our model.
Yes.
He was obsessed with pointing to the Father. And like James 4:8, where he says, God says through the apostle James, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw closer to you. Along that line, so that is my I hope my obsession is to draw nigh, to draw closer to God, and thus copy the model of our Lord Jesus. God bless.
Thank you, Julius. Appreciate your call.
Bye-bye.
A very simple statement from Julius. Jesus was obsessed with pointing to the Father. And that really does sum up what our lives really ought to be about. So
yes.
Whatever changes we want to make ought to be with that end result in mind. You know, I want to grow up and I want to be like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And I want to give all praise, honor, and glory to our Heavenly Father.
Because that's what Jesus did.
Yes.
So it's really, 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 really very simple. So faith. Faith is a sort of the subject matter for this particular segment. Thanks again, Julius, for your call. Jesus makes having faith a very attractive proposition. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, it really draws you to the idea of, wow, faith can be a good thing.
Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
And you hear that and you think, oh, okay, this could be a really nice ride. Right? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come if you labor and are heavy laden, you get rest. It's like a vacation almost. And you feel like, wow, this is really cool. To be a Christian, it's like you hover above the experiences of life. Well, not so. What he's saying is, I'm going to show you how to be able to rest through your experiences and your difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big difference in that. See,
because
even though it's attractive and very, it's very sobering to live with faith. We can only truly know how to live it by taking our humanity out of the way. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5.
I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God.
So the Apostle Paul, very educated man, right?
Oh, yeah.
Very articulate. He could have talked circles around the Corinthians.
He could have brought glory to himself with his own wisdom.
Easily, because he was eloquent.
Yes.
He was knowledgeable.
But he didn't.
And that's the point. That's what he's saying. You know, what he did, he said is, look, I came to you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. So he took himself out of the picture, and he said, and my communication to you was through the Spirit of God only, because that was the important thing. So faith, that was an act of faith on his part.
Oh, it was.
He wasn't relying on himself.
No.
He was relying on something bigger, something stronger. The walk of unshakable faith. Let's take a look at that. Again, words of the Apostle Paul, same book, 1 Corinthians, now chapter 16, verses 13 to 14.
Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love.
Act like a man, will you? Man up and approach life the way you need to approach it. Our own changes in life come more freely when we act out of love for others. He says, let all that you do be done in love.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another part.
That's acting like a man.
Yeah, it is. You know, and that
it sounds like it contradicts, doesn't
it? Yeah, it sounds like that doesn't belong in the man cave. But in fact, it does, because the truer, deeper motivation of acting in love out of love for those around us, that's how you really man up in life. But that's a subject for another day, I think. One of these days, we need to do a program on being a real man.
There you go.
Folks, if you have a thought, we're talking about change and how to make it happen in our lives. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And if you'd like to email us, you can email us at rick@christianquestions.net.
And I tell you, we love getting those emails from you, those personal experiences that talk about your own transformation, your own difficulties, your own trials. It really is truly deeply inspirational to us. As we're talking about the story of Rebecca here this morning, our friend Rebecca and her challenge in fighting through the eating disorders of her past. A perspective of faith allows us to fight A perspective of faith allows us to fight the fight of necessary change by granting us a source of strength beyond our own natural resources. And this is important, Jonathan, because faith is tapping into something beyond your own natural resource. That's what faith is. It's finding the pathway to something that's beyond what you normally could get to. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, and we'll get more on this in the next segment.
Be of a sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world.
So we all go through the same battle against Satan. And James 1, chapter 1, verses 2 to 4.
Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let your endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials.
Whoa.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's tough.
That's just a hard thing. But when we realize that James says is so true, because the testing of your faith produces endurance, and isn't that the change you want in your life?
It is.
So let's get on with it then. You know, consider it joy. Don't consider it happiness, but joy. There's a difference. That underlying focus of life, that's what joy truly is. Let's go back to the skits, guys, Jonathan, just for a moment here. Another short little vignette from their New Year's Nuggets on Wisdom.
Second nugget, learn from your past and don't be defined by it. God has a plan for you. God has a story in mind for you, even with the mistakes you've made. And trust me, I've made some mistakes. I was trying so hard, chilling, relaxing, maxing so cool.
Yeah, but you just couldn't get jiggy with it. Hey, buck up, camper. God's mercies are new every morning.
Tell that to Facebook.
Again, you have to see the skits to appreciate. You know, those were in his rock and roll days. You know,
oh,
that's what that was all about.
Okay.
And, you know, Facebook, of course, records everything in life. And he's saying, yeah, well, you know, I tried so hard. I did make mistakes. Don't be defined by your mistakes. Don't be defined by your life, by things you've done in the past. Just learn from them. And that's where faith really, really comes in as a very, very important part of our lives. So, folks, as we look at the subject of change, we've talked about three things so far. Changing from the inside out, backsliding happens, and the power, the deep power of faith.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, if you could change one thing, what would it be? Coming up, what's the best way to keep a New Year's resolution? Tell somebody. What can gaining support and encouragement do for us? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, if you could change one thing, what would it be? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
And Jonathan, as we talk about making changes in our lives, we're talking about that because it's New Year's time and people typically think about New Year, new start, new things, and get excited. And most of the time we get excited and then we get all discouraged.
That's right. And give up.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's like I work out at a gym on a regular basis, like about 4 days a week. And right at the beginning of the year, you know, the next week or two or three, the place is going to be packed. I can assure you it's going to be packed. And then it's going to gradually go down. And then the people that you normally see are going to be the ones that are going to be are just continue to show up.
Yep.
We get started. We have enthusiasm. But there's something missing too often in the things that we want to change. What are those things that are missing? We need to realize that it has to be from the inside out. We need to realize that backsliding happens. We need to have faith. And what is now the fourth element of change as we go through this? And these elements came from email correspondence we had from a listener who we're calling Rebecca, who was dealing with eating disorders. And she had just emailed us as to the immense impact that Christian Questions had on helping her to put it in a box and put it in her past so she could move forward. What's the fourth item, Jonathan?
To change, sometimes we need help, whether it is from those around us, who are also about our Father's business, or from God through His Spirit. Our walk is not and should not be a lonely one.
And we need help.
We do.
The Christianity is not a solo act.
No.
Never has been, never will be. So get that through your head right now. We all need help. Let's go back to another soundbite from Jenny Berube, who had given that TED Talk about change me, change everything. Again, she talks about in this small soundbite controlling three things that are very, very important.
So I had to make a decision about what I could control. And there's only three things I've discovered, and they're not my thoughts. Someone else gave them to me. About what I could control. I can control my belief system. I can decide to believe that I can win, or I can decide to believe that I'm doomed to fail. I can control my attitude, and I can control my activity. And what a gift that is to know that those things I can control. So now, I remind myself, I can control my belief system. And I try to say to myself, if this belief is good for you, it has to be good for everyone else. So if you think you can only fail, you're saying everyone else only has the right to fail.
And I like that last line, because she's saying that the belief system that she's always had in her life was, I'm destined for failure. And she's saying that that's not a legitimate belief system, because it would not legitimately apply to people around you. So why would you adopt something that's just not legitimate?
Good point.
And now for us, the belief system is much, much bigger than just success or failure. It's success in life, not from a human standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint through the navigation of Jesus our Lord. And that's just so much of a bigger thing to have in terms of our own belief system. But we also do need help from those around us.
We do.
You know, it's not, and here's the thing. One of the dangers of Christianity is we can really get into this mentality, and I want to be careful how I say this, of it's me and my Lord Jesus, and we can do everything in, you know, ourselves. And while that's good to have that personal one-on-one, that strong connection, we also need the fellowship of those around us. Galatians 6, 1 through 7.
Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, and consider yourself lest you are tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
So the idea of bearing one another's burdens comes out in this particular scripture in a very, very strong way. You which are spiritual need to be helping those who are not, who are struggling.
Sure.
And when it says bear one another's burden, what does it mean?
It means a weight, only figuratively a load or abundance.
So in other words, help one another bear the weight of their experience.
You can't take it away from them,
right?
But you can help them.
You can
bear
help
it.
Them bear the weight. And in psychology, what we're saying is, what the scriptures are telling us, long before psychology existed, what the scriptures are saying here, and it's going to bear it out in the next part of the verse, is don't enable somebody.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Help for our difficulties is built into the body of Christ, and to me, that's a beautiful, beautiful thought. We just need to be willing to get the help that we need, which may not be the help that we want.
Interesting.
Because sometimes that which we need is furthest from our own mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it takes that humility that in the first hour, Nebuchadnezzar,
yes,
he needed a lot of help.
He needed humbled.
He needed humble pie for a steady diet for 7 years is what he needed. So let's go back to this Galatians 6, 1-7 scripture, because this becomes very, very important, not only for the people who need help, but for those who are willing to give help.
For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another.
So here's the thing. If anyone thinks himself to be something, I think the apostle is now talking to those who are willing to help.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, watch yourselves. Be careful. Because the quality of being spiritual doesn't necessarily mean, well, maybe because you're smarter than the other person,
mm-hmm,
or you're older than the other person, you qualify.
Ah.
See, spirituality is not determined by IQ or age necessarily. Those things can help, mm-hmm, but those are not the determining factors. Is that a word? Determining factors. Yeah, you can tell how smart I am. Contrarily, it means spiritually mature. That's what this is talking about. Living and doing for higher reasons with no thought of earthly gain, but only the focus of Christ's likeness. That's the spirituality. Those are those of us who are focused on that, those are the people that should be reaching out their hands to really help up others.
Yes.
And you got to ask yourself, well, why is that? Because there's a temptation. in helping someone else. The temptation of personal pride, like, oh, Jonathan, you're stuck in the gutter again. Let me help you out.
Oh, you're so kind.
Yeah. But the problem is that by saying that and being that in that way, what have I done?
You've taken the Lord out of the equation.
Exactly. And I've put myself in this danger zone.
Yes.
Of personal pride that you're not so good or well off, I'm better off, I can rescue you. That's not where we ought to be going here. So verse 5 now from Galatians 6.
For each one should bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap.
And so even if we are trying to be helpful, if we are sowing that helpfulness with the attitude of pride and ego, guess what we're going to reap? Pride and ego.
Oh, yeah.
Not a good thing. No. Not a good thing at all. But the interesting thing here is each one shall bear his own load. That's different than the burden previously. What does this word load mean?
It means an invoice.
What's an invoice? It's something that's assigned. It's a specific job, a specific task, a specific destination. So each of us has the invoice of our lives. We cannot bear the burden. I can't bear the burden of your life, nor can you bear the burden of my life.
Right.
But I can help you with the weight of the experiences of your life. Mm-hmm. And you can help me with the weight of the experiences of my life. That's the kind of help we're looking for.
Support. We need support.
Support from those who have that same kind of faith. Support from those who realize how difficult life is, who can be compassionate and understanding on a scriptural, spiritual level. Folks, if you have a thought, we'd love to hear from you. We're talking about change and how change works in our lives. Our number is 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
Christian Questions, a weekly habit that's good for you. Thanks for tuning us in every Sunday morning live from 7 to 9. Join our conversation any day and time at ChristianQuestions.com.
Jonathan, let's go back to the Skit Guys, their New Year's nuggets on wisdom, to get their third little nugget of wisdom for a new year.
Next nugget, let your yes be yes, which means say yes to everything. I don't know. I didn't pay attention during rehearsal.
All right, that's your problem. That's your problem. I'll say, hey, are you ready? And you'll go, yes. Can you make a resolution to come to rehearsals prepared? Can you do that?
Yes.
You don't mean a word you're saying right now, do you?
No.
And that's just it. Yes is a powerful word, and we say it a lot, and we can people please to so many people, but make your yes be yes.
It's such a powerful little statement.
It is simple, but truthful.
It is. It's one of those basic truths of life. Do we say yes to just people please and not have to think about or worry about something? Or do we say yes because, yes, this is what I believe in. This is what I stand for. This is what is reflected from me out to the rest of the world.
That shows integrity, really.
It really does. And that's a hard place to get to.
It is.
Because we're taught in the world in which we live to not be like that. Because that way you can sometimes make ripples and people don't necessarily like it. So it's always better to just go with the flow and not cause any trouble anywhere, anytime, under any circumstances, so that everybody's going to be okay with everything and everything's going to be fine and dandy and you don't have to worry about anything.
No.
No. Let your no be no is the other part of that. That's right. That's the other part of that. So when we say yes to something, we need to really, truly mean it as a standing up for what is really important. Love that thought there. Let's go back to our theme scripture, Jonathan. We mentioned that there's a very powerful element in this theme scripture. Just read the theme scripture itself one more time, and then we'll go to the context.
Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created...
No, just the theme scripture first, okay. Verse 31.
But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Very inspirational. What's the backstory of that very inspirational text? Let's start a few verses before with verse 26.
Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their hosts by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing.
So obviously this is talking about God Almighty.
Our Creator.
And it's talking about the fact that he created all the stars and knows their names. Now that's a strange thing to think about.
It is.
Because we can't count
many?
The number of stars.
Wow.
So the first point here in this scripture is perspective. This is all about perspective. This scripture of inspirational scripture, Isaiah 40:31, verse 26 is telling us, look up to him who is truly mighty and acknowledge his power and his wisdom. He can do things that are far beyond anything we could even imagine doing in our lives. So let's continue verses 27 to 28.
Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable.
So here it's saying, and you know, in one of the sound bites from the skit guys earlier in the program, one of the guys was saying, God, you know, did you forget about me? I remember that. This is saying the same kind of thing. It's saying, why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice escapes the notice of my God? So what it's saying is sometimes we think that God forgets us. Sometimes we think that our experiences are such that God is overlooking us for whatever reason, and that becomes a very depressing part of our lives.
Yes, that can happen to us.
But what this scripture in Isaiah is saying is, look, haven't you heard? The everlasting God. I mean, you know, this is. Let me translate this into phraseology. Newsflash: the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, doesn't get weary or tired. He doesn't forget you. His understanding is beyond your ability to comprehend anything. So get with the program and realize that the one doing the forgetting, and I'm adding all of this, obviously, the one doing the forgetting is you, not him. It's you. So now the scripture is setting us up for something very, very, very special and very specific. Verse 29.
He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly.
So now it's saying, yes, his understanding is inscrutable, and this third point is to believe that he is an endless power source compared to those in the prime of their life and those who are mighty in the eyes of men. He says, the youths grow weary. Young men, they get tired. The vigorous young men, the warriors, stumble badly. And when you think about it, this is giving you the picture of those who would have been trained for war,
mm-hmm,
these vigorous
mm-hmm.
young men. They would have been at the peak of their physical prowess.
Correct.
They would have been the strongest of the strong, the most disciplined of the disciplined. And yet, what the scripture is saying is, look, they're going to even stumble. They're going to get tired. They're going to just get to a point where they can't go on any further. But God Almighty never ever experiences that. So now, understanding that comparison, here is where we get to the big point of the scripture, verse 31, our theme scripture.
Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary.
I love this translation because it really nails it down. It says they will gain new strength. What this means is, you know, in the King James Version, it says they will renew their strength.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The word renew actually means to change. Like you change your jacket. You take one jacket off and you put another jacket on. So what this is saying is those who wait on the Lord will have a new source of strength.
Gotcha.
Not your own, not the same strength of the disciplined as those young, strong men, but something bigger, something stronger, something more powerful, something endless. Energizer Bunny can't hold a candle to what we're talking about here, okay? This is an endless source of great, great strength. It's the source of his strength, for it's only then that we can mount up with wings and not be weary. That's the key. It's changing the source of our strength. That's one of the critical parts of being able to make changes in our life so those changes can be lasting. It's the source of your strength.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning: if you could change one thing, what would it be? Coming up, True Deep Inside Out needs two more things. What are they? Without these, we have no chance. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, if you could change one thing, what would it be? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985 for all. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
And Jonathan, we're talking about change. How do you make change? And, you know, the last scripture, the theme text that we talked about, you know, mounting up with wings as eagles, the whole reason you can do that is if you allow yourself to change the source of your strength. So you're not focused on being a really strong man, but you're focused on being a strong vessel for the strength of the Lord to flow through. That's the key. It's not our own strength that matters. It's His strength in us.
Reminds me of the scripture, I can do all things through Christ.
Exactly.
Which strengtheneth me.
It's a New Testament way of saying the same thing.
Yes.
And so it's a powerful concept that if we can get our arms around, change can really begin to happen. So what are the 4 points that we've discussed so far?
Well, the first is taking the external behavior and making it internal.
So inside-out change.
Yes.
Changing from the inside out. Second was?
Backsliding happens.
It does, and you just got to realize it and be prepared for it. Third point?
Faith is powerful.
You need faith. We need to understand that faith doesn't change our circumstances. It changes our ability to deal with our circumstances.
And the fourth, Rick, is sometimes we need help.
And sometimes that help comes directly from God or Jesus above, and sometimes that help comes from those around us.
And we have two more that we're going to discuss this segment.
Yeah, how are we going to do that? I don't know, but what's the fifth point?
Well, the fifth point is prayer really can change things. We must always ask God for His strength and His will, so what changes will be our perspective and throughout our actions. Circumstances need not change.
So it's not a matter of asking God to change your circumstances. It's a matter of asking God for us to change our perspective so our actions can change within our circumstances. And see, and that's something that can be controlled by God's grace.
Yes.
But it's not by our strength. It's by His grace. That's a powerful aspect of this whole thing. Let's go back to the Skit Guys one last time for their fourth nugget on New Year's Nuggets on Wisdom.
Our final nugget is, whatever you commit to, honor God with it. I mean, the truth is, we all have things we need to stick to committing, like saying no to chocolate bars after 8 p.m. on Wednesdays.
Or it could be even more realistic, and your commitments are to pray more, to spend more time with your family, figure out a way to connect your life with God, and to make Him famous with your life.
And I love that last statement. Make God famous with your life. Don't make yourself famous. Make God famous with your life. It just creates such a vivid picture in my own mind about where does the glory go to? God Almighty. Make God the famous one in your life. Not you, not anybody else. Make God the famous one. Jesus showed us that He was the conduit through which we could be blessed. Jesus showed us that we could get to God through Him. The blessing from God literally flows through Jesus. John 16:24.
Until now, you have asked for nothing in My name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full.
So again, that sounds like that big open-armed invitation.
It does.
You've asked nothing in My name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy might be full. Let's go to Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, because Jesus expands on that same thought.
Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, whom when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask Him?
So again, Jonathan, when we read those last two scriptures from John and from Matthew, it sounds like Jesus is giving you this recipe for, like, supercharged, abundant receiving of whatever it is we would really like.
It sounds like it.
It does, but that's not what Jesus is saying. You see, we have to, when we read the words of Jesus, we have to see them in the context in which they were spoken and see the whole picture, not just the part that's most appealing.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like those people who and I don't know why I thought of this, but, you know, who want to eat a sandwich, but they cut off the crust. You know, you can't cut off the crust, otherwise you're not eating a whole sandwich. It's not official. Okay. Sorry. You're stuck with me. What can I tell you? But see, what Jesus is saying here, He says that your joy might be full. What joy? He's not talking about that you can get whatever you want. It's that your joy might be full. And the fact of the matter is, when we go through Jesus to God, I mean, it seems like a foolproof plan for change, right? I mean, just like, oh, nothing go wrong here.
It sounds like it.
But sometimes it doesn't work. And so you say, well, wait, why doesn't it always work? What could possibly get in the way? We've just built up, you know, making God famous in your life and all of that, and say, okay, prayer is a key factor in making these changes in our lives. How come it doesn't work sometimes? Well, because we're human beings, mm-hmm. and we get stuck in our humanity and forget to leave it behind. Let's look at James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4.
What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel.
I mean, think about that. I mean, James is saying you're committing murder, you're fighting and quarreling. I mean, he's talking to Christians, right?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so you know something is up here.
You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures.
So what James is saying is our inner focus needs checking to keep our backsliding at bay so faith can direct our requests. So we can ask God for things and for change in our life, and we can ask, but if our motivation is not truly godly, then what James is saying is you're trying to fulfill your own desire. And sometimes, Jonathan, this might be hard to hear, but sometimes we ask for change in our life so we can appear to be different to others than we are. And if we're asking for the sake of appearance, then we're not asking for the true transformation ability that God gives us in our lives.
Yes.
And we're looking to consume that change upon our own desire so that we can appear different, we can appear stronger, we can appear whatever it is, but that's not what change really is about. That's not what the tool of prayer should be used for.
Continuing with what James' words, here we go. You adulteresses.
Ouch.
Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Wow, that's harsh.
It is. It is harsh, but it helps us to understand how prayer should really, truly work. Here is where we need to seek the right help from the right kind of sources. You know, here is where prayer needs to be really looked at for what it's worth. We should not be commanding to God in our prayers. We should not be demanding of God in our prayers. We should be pleading for His will in our prayers. You know, it says, come to the throne of grace. The throne of grace is not a place where you place your demands.
No.
It just doesn't work that way. It's grace. Grace is unmerited favor. So prayer is seeking the blessing of favor that we truly don't deserve, but God is willing to give us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make sure our motivation is in the right place for prayer, because prayer is a key for any Christian in terms of making the changes that we need to make in our lives.
It's our lifeline.
It is. And folks, if you have a thought, now is absolutely the time. Last call, 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.com. And don't forget to sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition, and get our free app for your smartphone.
Okay, so the app is available at your app store. Just type in Christian Questions, download the app. It opens up the door to everything Christian Questions. So, Jonathan, we've gone through five things. Inside-out thinking, backsliding happens, faith is important and necessary, we need help, prayer can change things. What's the last point?
Never give up.
Okay, that's a simple statement.
The hardest trials, the most painful experiences, really do provide us with the greatest growth and maturity as followers of Christ. Jesus bore the burden of the world's sin. Surely we can bear the burden of our own experiences with Jesus as our example and guide.
And in this, there is such a powerful thought in all of this. The hardest trials and the most painful experiences provide the greatest growth and maturity.
It's so true.
And so when we, again, the inspiration for this approach to this particular program came through our friend Rebecca. That's not her real name, but she is a listener who had struggled with eating disorders for many, many, many years of her life. She wrote us a letter basically saying how the approach that we took on a particular program helped her put it in perspective, helped her finalize some of the changes that she had been so hard working at. And this has been a hard experience for her. It will be the most fruitful experience of her life if she can keep it in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So the hard, hard experiences produce the greatest fruit and give us the most lasting effects, and also provide a ripple effect, because her overcoming can now positively affect others who are trying to overcome.
Good point.
And so on and so on. Let's go back to Jenny Berube, the TED Talk, one last time for finding some of the secrets for making change. And one of the secrets is success through failure.
Let's make a commitment to be people and not just circumstances breathing. Let's make a commitment to celebrate life by living it, by the joy of it all, and even the failure of it. Because I had to learn that failure was not what I was addicted to. Failure was not here and success there, and I always seem to choose failure somehow. I had to learn that failure was here and success was beyond it. Just like the only way a child learns to walk is by falling, I had to realize that when I failed, it was one step closer to success.
That's simple. Powerful, powerful statement. And folks, look, we are going to fail. We're going to have lots and lots of failures in life. That doesn't mean we're failures. It means we've had an experience of failure. Let's get up, brush ourselves off, and learn the experiences we need to. Find true, deep spiritual inspiration to help you in your battle for true inner change. And look, you can find it in a lot of places, but the best place to go is the textbook. The textbook on change is the Holy Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, our classic scriptural motivation for our making the right kinds of changes.
Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Change the source of your strength by focusing on Jesus, your Lord. That's really what that scripture is boiling down to. There's a whole lot more in it. One more scripture, Jonathan, to be prepared for the difficulties and tragedies of life with an attitude toward and a focus on the big picture. Habakkuk chapter 3, 17 to 19.
Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my Savior. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet, and makes me walk on my high places.
So what this is saying is, even if everything around you in your life falls apart, we can still rejoice in God's blessing. Because God's blessing is not necessarily just reflected to us in physical abundance.
No, it's not.
It's more often reflected to us in spiritual growth and maturity.
Yes.
That's where the true change in our lives really, really, really needs to lead us, is down the road of the change of spirituality, of growth, of maturity. It has to start from the inside out. It has to be with the understanding that we are going to have backslidings. It's okay. We have to realize that faith is a beacon of light to navigate through circumstances, not to change them. We need help sometimes. We need other people to help us. We need to continue to pray always and pray without ceasing. And finally, folks, never, 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 never give up. For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, we hope you've enjoyed being with us today, talking about change, talking about putting ourselves in a position where our lives can be more fruitful to the glory of God. We'll be back again next week with another subject. But till then, if you could change one thing, what would it be? Till next week, think about it.